This is 89.1 WEMU on a Wednesday, and I'm David Fair. You may have noticed it has become somewhat brighter in Ann Arbor. By that, I mean there are some residents concerned that new LED lighting in the city is causing more light pollution. Weighing the impacts of that against increased energy efficiency as Ann Arbor works to achieve carbon neutrality by the year 2030, it's an ongoing topic of discussion and potential action plans. And it's the focus of this week's edition of WEMU's Issues of the Environment. Our guest today is in the middle of the conversations. Dharma Akman is a 4th Ward representative on Ann Arbor City Council, and thank you so much for carving out time today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Well, when the A20 plan was adopted and I began reading through it, I realized just how complex the plan would be and how difficult it would be to bring to fruition. I figured lighting would be one of the easier components, but nothing's easy, is it?
No, it isn't.
Well, the city has a $980,000 grant from the Southeast Michigan Council of Governments to make the full transition to LED lighting. The city is putting in $270,000 from the voter-approved climate action millage. Now, the grant money comes with some requirements and timelines, does it not?
Yes, the money had to be obligated by the end of September. And so we had to get that award approved by council in pretty quick order.
So early this year, there was some testing done to gather public input on what the lighting should be, what it should look like. Now, there can never be consensus, but the majority opinion seemed to be in favor of lower wattage and warmer lighting texture. Did you come to any kind of personal opinion on the matter?
Yeah, it was interesting. I visited the site a couple of times where you can kind of see three different lights. And you could really tell with the cooler temperature, the sense of glare and overbrightness. And contrary to what you might think, instead of better illumination, it's actually worse illumination because the glare impacts your ability to see even at a crosswalk. So the temperature was in particular very noticeable.
So brighter lights, in theory, would create a greater sense of safety and security. Are you saying that in your observation that wasn't necessarily the case?
Yeah, both in my observation and basically what dark sky principles tell us is that it's actually a misnomer to think that the brighter the light, the more effective it is at lighting. And you can see really good comparisons. I mean, I saw this in the field, that actually the glare reduces your ability to see in many cases.
Issues of the Environment in our conversation with Ann Arbor City Council member Dharma Akman continues on 89.1 WEMU. As you mentioned, it creates glare, creates road glare that can hamper driving. It makes its way into households and can disrupt sleep among residents. And as I understand it, it can have adverse impacts on area wildlife and insects. As a member of City Council, how do you weigh those factors as you move forward in trying to determine what will best serve carbon neutrality goals and safety and efficiency?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. There are so many things to hang in the balance. There's the energy efficiency, which is obviously a primary component of our A20 plan. There's also quality of life, and there's also the health of our natural environment, insects, birds, other nocturnal wildlife that are impacted by light that's overbright. You know, I do think that a lot of these can be balanced, and they will be, achieved in what we have planned. So light shielding, that's going to keep the light from going upward. Energy savings, we are definitely getting that. And the color temperature is a big win in terms of dark sky principles. You know, the light that we're installing is far warmer than the standard light from DTE. So those are a number of things that are being delivered. You know, people are very concerned about quality of life, and I understand that the street lights are everywhere. They're ubiquitous. Oftentimes people have one in front of their homes, and understandably people do not want it over-illuminating inside of their houses and creating, a poor sleep environment. I think that some folks would have liked dimmer lights on the residential streets. They are going to be somewhat dimmer than on more major thoroughfares, not as dim as perhaps people were calling for, but I think as, dim as we were able to get them working on DTE-zoned streetlights.
It's interesting. On two separate occasions now, you've brought up the term dark sky principles. When you're in an urban setting, how do you make that work?
Yeah, well, dark sky principles are really about having the right light in the right place. It's not about, you know, unfortunately, the term dark sky, I think it makes it sound like we don't think that there should be light in a city. That's absolutely not the case. So it would not be safe and doesn't make sense. But what we don't want is light shining where it shouldn't go. So often on a standard light installation, light is, for example, shining above the horizontal plane. That's not where we need the light. We need the light below. And so things like shielding, which is a dark sky approach, directs the light where it needs to go. Similarly, you know, there's no point in over-illuminating. We want light directed in certain places, not just scattered all over the place. And so I think that that's also another aspect of this, as well as, again, the color temperature. We know that these blue color temperatures are very bad for both human health as well as wildlife. And so by simply having a better, more orange, warmer tone of light is just better all around, quite frankly, for both humans and wildlife.
Is there an additional cost associated with using the kind of lighting the city desires as opposed to what was perhaps originally planned by DTE?
Yes, I mean, DTE is switching to LED as part of their standard. They're going to do it slowly as they replace lights as they get burnt out. Yes, there is extra cost. Luckily, the grant is defraying that cost for us. Because this is not a standard DTE offering, the city has to stock extra of these lights, which is part of the reason why we couldn't do two different wattage installations, because the burden is placed on the city to stock those lights because DTE does not offer it by standard.
And that's where those light shields come into play that you have mentioned. Is it going to be sufficient in your estimation to please the residents that are concerned about being affected?
I think so. I certainly hope so. You know, we have seen LED installations. If you look in other cities, we've seen it go terribly wrong. I think often a big part of that is the color temperature and too high of a wattage. So I do think that we have some wins, and I think with the shielding that the light is going to be much more directed. And I think, again, the temperature is going to help a lot with the glare that people are complaining about. I mean, people are already experiencing DTE replacing these light bulbs as, again, there's burnout. And what they're replacing with are pretty terrible. One was replaced in front of my house, and people liken it to institutional or prison lighting. It's not a good experience. And, yes, I think this is going to be a far better experience.
Once again, this is 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with 4th Ward Ann Arbor City Council member Dharma Acklin on issues of the environment. So the question is, where do we go from here? And more specifically, what is next? What is the next step?
The next step is installation of these lights, which is supposed to happen beginning this fall and winter and be completed in 2025. As I said, some of, you know, these lights are dimmable, so some of them on the local streets or most of them on the local streets will be of a lower wattage. And what I really hope to see in the future is that DTE takes a lesson from this and starts applying some of what we're doing in Ann Arbor as a more standard offering across Southeast Michigan.
When do you expect the full transition will be made? You said early to mid next year?
Yeah, 2025.
And when will you be able to get an evaluation of actual energy efficiency versus light pollution?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I think in terms of energy savings, we pretty much have calculated that out. It's going to be over 1 million kilograms per year of CO2 saved and about $300,000 annually of money saved. As far as, you know, people's satisfaction with these lights, I expect to hear pretty quickly. I don't think I've gotten more emails about an issue than this lighting issue since I've been on council. So,
in conclusion, as we wrap up our time today, this is again a small component of what is a massive A20 plan. When you get to full efficiencies, how much closer are we going to be to achieving carbon neutrality?
Well, I think this is a big step. Lighting accounts for a really big portion of our energy usage, something like 15%. And this is over 4,000 lights in the city that are being changed over. So I think that's a significant aspect of meeting our goals and doing it in short order and on a much quicker timeline than we had planned, which was 2029.
Well, I thank you so much for the conversation and updating us today, and we'll look forward to what is to come.
Well, thank you so much.
That is 4th Ward Ann Arbor City Council member Dharma Ackman. She's been our guest on Issues of the Environment. And if you'd like more information on today's topic and conversation, all you have to do is stop by our website at WEMU.org. When you get a minute, we'll get you all linked up everywhere you need to go. Issues of the Environment is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner, and you hear it every Wednesday. I'm David Fair, and this is your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM, Ypsilanti.